Shogger, how you doing?
Pretty good today, buddy. How are you? You having a positive Friday today?
Oh, yeah. Dude, my nephew scores first goal. Damn right.
That's awesome. If
I had beer in studio, I'd be drunk right now.
I was busy this afternoon. I hadn't seen that. But that's a big moment. Congratulations to the whole family.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool for
him. How did it go in? Was it a dangle? Was it a garbage goal? What was it?
He ripped down the left wing and shot it far side over the glove of Jonathan Quick. Pretty good snipe. So
Nice.
It's pretty good. It's not one that he'll have to exaggerate on that it was a nice first goal.
Yeah.
So that's good. Because you know
that's
what?
That's a proud moment.
Doesn't matter.
Uncle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's I haven't stood up. I don't cheer very often, but I have when I watch him play going back to the playoffs in PA. And then that one for sure. And it was lucky that it was during the commercial break because I might have got suspended if it was on air. So
now, if San Jose plays Edmonton in the playoffs and he's up, how are you going to remain impartial? You'll have to summon every bit of journalistic integrity that you have.
No, you know what I'll do? I will sit in my seats for those games and be like, I'm just a fan because I have a family member. And when it's family, I think it's different. I'll be like, oh no, I'll be cheering for sure.
Yeah,
so
good man.
That would be. Hey, you know what? Sharks and Oilers. This is one team that actually do meet in the playoffs. So maybe that's a good sign. They've met the last two times the Oilers are in the playoffs. They play the Sharks. So hey, that would be fun. The Oilers, hey, if they want to get to the playoffs, they have a huge opportunity here to really separate themselves from Vancouver. And, you know, at worst, I think the Oilers are looking for a split and then they stay 7 points up on them. But, you know, anything else, maybe you get three or possibly you get four. And now you've got a pretty good gap.
Oh, man. I mean, it's about taking on everybody that steps in front of you that thinks they have a chance and just putting doubt in their mind. And, you know, the Canucks are looking at a significant gap between themselves and the Oilers right now. And you get through a weekend like this where you at least get the split, like you say, maybe do better. And, you know, any thoughts of catching you, you know, are basically all but done. That's a huge gap. So, yeah, you can, you know, the good teams that are on top of the standings, when somebody steps up and it's an important sort of four-point swing, a night with a four-point swing, man, you can go a huge way in just putting doubt in their minds. And so it's a big opportunity for the Oilers. But interesting, Edmonton, Vancouver, you know, it has some meaning to it, which I think will be fun.
Well, exactly, right? It's been a long time. The Oilers and the Canucks haven't been in the playoffs at the same time since 2003. So you know, now obviously when you miss 12 out of 13, though, so I guess that's, you know, we could say that about almost, you know, there's many teams, I guess, in that regard. But because the last two times the Oilers made it, it just happened to be the Canucks weren't in it. But it, you know, the Vancouver comes in, you know, they're a pretty good team, no question about it. They got Elias Pettersson, a really entertaining young player. And then obviously the Oilers have their top guys. And when they come off a game where they were average, that's where it's almost more exciting to watch McDavid and Draisaitl, because you expect them, you consider it really just because of the schedule, Shogger. Like they felt, for them it feels probably like forever since they played a really good game, because it was last Sunday and they've only played one since. Like I would expect 97 and 29, especially with Nugent Hopkins out of the lineup, to have a pretty big game.
I think so. That's what they've shown this year. Like, it's not very often where they've both gone quiet for back-to-back games. Almost never happens. So here we are, a big chunk of the way into the season, and they've set this ridiculous pace. And they've set the trend that they're a good bounce-back team. So, I would agree. I would expect them to follow up again and have a good effort. They're a little banged up throughout their lineup, and they're missing some guys. So, it'll be interesting to see what they can do. And the Canucks do, I mean, you know, JT Miller's having a heck of a good year this year. You know, Elias Pettersson is... you know, one of the most dynamic young players in the game. He's lots of fun to watch. You know, Bo Horvat is becoming a more and more well-rounded player, you know, as his time continues in the National Hockey League. They got lots of good pieces. And, you know, and Hughes is tons of fun to watch, too. So lots of interesting high-skill players to watch in that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hughes and, you know, Hughes has been very good on the back end for the Vancouver Canucks. And so here's my question to you, Shogger. Tomorrow, you're the coach. What is your second line?
Gagne, Kara, and Neil, maybe? That makes some sense. You give Jujhar Kara a bit of a kick up the lineup and an opportunity. He's scoring some goals, playing with some confidence. maybe see if he and James Neal can get a little something going with one another. You know, there's potential there. I'd maybe give that a look. You?
Yeah, well, I actually have a knee guard there only because Jujar is scoring and he's been scoring elsewhere. So I'm like, hey, I'll just keep him there because then I'm thinking I could get some production from my bottom six and maybe knee guard add some speed with the Neal and Gagne. But either one, I think it's knee guard or Kara for sure. Those are the only two options, I would think, without question. But, you know, that Archibald, Kara, Shane line, they did score the last game. And, you know, Kara's got 4 goals in 4 games. So maybe, you know, you try to spread out a little bit in your bottom, your scoring, because it's, you know, it's not like, you know, Karen is that dominant of a score yet where you're like, he's got to play on the second line. So I could see either way. I don't think it's a bad decision either way, but I do, you know, Nygaard's got to get back to playing how he was before he was injured. Cause I thought he was starting to at least be a little effective and more specifically on the penalty, on the forecheck. I haven't seen that as much since he's returned.
What about just thinking outside the box a little bit here? What about keeping McDavid and Draisaitl together and trying somebody other than Cassian with them and putting Cassian and Neal together on a second line with Gagne in the middle? And then maybe that gives you a little more oomph on both of those two lines. Would that make any... I mean, I know that threesome plays real well together and Cassian belongs there, but if you're in a pinch, he would beef up a second line a little bit better.
Yeah, that's... You know, it's interesting. If I'm Tippett, though, right now... I think if Nugent Hopkins was long term, you might have to look at that. But I think if it's only short term, and this is two big weekend games against the divisional rivals, I'm keeping my top line together for this weekend only because I know when they're together, I've got a really good chance they're going to produce. And I'll kind of roll the odds because it's not like Nugent Hopkins 5-on-5 was producing a ton so far this season. Right. So it's not, I think maybe for a few games, especially Vancouver back to back, I would probably go with my big guns and Cassian has fit in well on that line. So I'd stick with it.
Oh, I agree. And it's not any knock on him at all. It's not,
that's a fair point,
it wouldn't be a demotion at all. It's more of a compliment to him.
Yeah.
You add, and I like the idea of he and James Neal, you know, two big bodies that can really create a little bit of a ruckus in the offensive zone. Cassian's making plays at a high level. He's distributing the puck pretty well. It's a compliment to him that you put him on either of those top two lines and it makes that line better. So you're probably right, though. They maybe don't mess with that top line going into a couple of games here. So we'll see what Tippett does. Most of the levers and the buttons, the levers he pulls and the buttons he pushes seem to be working pretty well this year, though, don't they?
No, without question, they are.
You've got a feel for it.
Yeah, especially, you know, at the goaltending position. Although I looked, because I was asked the question today, well, geez, look at Koskinen, way more wins than Smith. But I looked at it, and Mike Smith, in four of the losses, the Oilers have scored two goals, because they lost to the Kings, they scored one goal. They lost to Minnesota, no goals. They lost to Winnipeg, no goals. They lost Chicago, one goal. And it wasn't like Smith was bad in any of those games. He had a shutout, for goodness sakes, in one of them. You know, he just didn't get run support in some of those games, and that's kind of the difference in his wins, because if you look at the save percentage and goals against average overall, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, I would say that individual performances, and that's just paying attention to the saves the goalies are making in different situations, that Koskinen's quality of play has been a little bit higher recently. I'd say there was a time earlier in the year where Smith had a little bit of the edge there, and I think it's a good thing if they're going to kind of jockey back and forth and fight for positioning along those lines. But I agree, how the rest of the team plays and the D in front of them, all those things obviously all factor in to goalies' numbers and performances. But I would say Koskinen has been the more consistent of the two recently, just in individual performance, to my eye.
That's fair. I would think a little bit, no question. I don't think it's a massive gap, but I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yep.
And the thing is, it seems whenever they come back, though, that both of them, most nights, I can't think of a game, like maybe the Florida game, I guess, but the whole team was sleepwalking. But that's really the only game where I'd look and say, you know what, the goalies didn't really give him a chance. Most other nights, I'd say the goaltending's been pretty good.
Yeah, it was funny. I was doing Vancouver radio this morning, and they flat out asked the question, like, why haven't the Oilers collapsed yet? Was one of the first questions that the guys asked me, and they sort of jokingly asked me. But, I mean, special teams and goaltending, I mean, it's just it right there. Like, these two goaltenders have been so important to where the Oilers are at right now. And there's an increased quality in their play overall. Tippett's done some really nice things. I like the way they're, you know, they're approaching challenges as a group, all those things. But special teams and goaltending, when you have a top one or two special teams on both penalty kill and power play, and you're getting pretty high-end goaltending, it's hard not to be a playoff team when you have those three things going for you. And, man, the dam is held on all three of those fronts, penalty kill, power play, and goaltending, and it's just made such a tremendous difference for the Oilers and given them consistency with this high level of play that we wondered if they'd be able to do or not.
Sugar, have yourself a good weekend. Should be fun. Oilers, Canucks, big games. Haven't said that in a long time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to it, too. It'll be good times. And congratulations again to the whole family. That's great.
Oh, have beers tonight. Beers tonight. Good
right,
excuse.
Tom.
Appreciate it.